Heading to Southwold now, where residents spent most of the weekend cleaning up after heavy rainfall. This prompted the township to declare a state of emergency on Friday. Officials say roughly 9 inches of rain caused widespread flooding and damage in the rural township southwest of London. Here's a perspective from resident George Henshaw, who has lived in Fingal for 37 years. Here he is describing the storm.
Friday it started raining, and it started to get deeper over here on that side. And then it was later on, it was still raining. Mm-hmm. And something let go up there. It was sort of a bang. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a river coming down.
Wow.
Like it went all the way around. There was a telephone pole going into their backyard. One of the new telephone poles it floated right into their backyard.
Wow.
And the water was up over the window like this. Mm-hmm. I think you saw it on the news or whatever, going right through the window.
Yep.
But it flooded everybody out. As far as I'm concerned, it's because the drains were not connected.
It's only one of many extreme weather events we've been seeing across the country, and as well as one of many floods that we've been seeing across Ontario, with Niagara region affected last weekend. Joining me now with more on the kinds of damage these storms cause and how to mitigate them is Slobodan Simonovic. He's a professor emeritus of civil and environmental engineering at Western University. Hi, Slobodan.
Hello.
First off, what was your reaction to some of the images and videos that we saw from the flooding?
Unfortunately, you know, it is always disturbing because you see the impact of this, you know, relatively catastrophic events on people. And, you know, we should be kind of doing everything to try first to eliminate these impacts and then, you know, consider how we can prepare better for the future of this type of events.
Yeah, and I want to get into some of that future thinking in just a few moments, but cleanup efforts are one thing, and they definitely take their time. And, you know, even hearing what George was saying based on what he was noticing in the storm really stuck with me. So what are some of the long-standing infrastructure damages that can result from floods?
We have situations in kind of urban environments where the pressure for the development and use of the land is basically changing the physical characteristics. You know, instead of green areas, we are ending up with the parking lots and, you know, asphalt, and all these materials are kind of treating the rainfall different. If the rain comes on a green grass, portion of it will be infiltrated. If it comes on the, you know, parking lot, all the water will be kind of flowing down. So,
what do you think?
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, Slobodan, like, what do you think caused the flooding to be so extreme in this rural township?
There are a couple of, I think, very important kind of physical impacts that we are experiencing, physical impacts of climate that we are experiencing. And one is that obviously the warming is continuous. You see that, you know, from year to year, we are hitting the records on the average increase of the temperature. But with the increase of global warming, the content of the atmosphere is also changing, and it stores much more moisture. By storing the moisture, that moisture comes back to us in the form of the rain. And considering that, you know, it's a very measured and observed that warming continues, we should be expecting more and more events like this.
We actually had a reporter in Fingal talking to residents, many of whom said ongoing construction and a lack of infrastructure are to blame for this. Here's a resident now. This is Robin Mallett.
They started last November. They tore up all the streets. They tore up our street and Union Road because they're doing sewer work. And we're all being charged for these sewers to go in front of our house, which none of us are happy about either. Mm-hmm. And now we're also having all this damage to our houses in spite of that. So that doesn't really seem like it's a great plan. They're supposed to be putting in new sewers.
Slobodan, can you explain how construction projects like sewer replacements can add to damages when these storms occur?
I mean, this is a very specific case. I'm not completely certain at what stage the development or this particular construction is. obvious goal or objective is to kind of provide the facility that will allow water to flow through. If they are, or the project, if my understanding from the, you know, the TV reports as well as the comment that we just heard is that construction is in process, so that means that probably water is not moving as it will be moving when the infrastructure is completed. But I think there is a greater question of that, you know, infrastructure and how much protection will this infrastructure provide from the future events. We designed the infrastructure using the kind of historical information, and this is, I think, one of the potential problems that we are not including the climate change into that. And then, you know, the regulators come up with a statistical standard like 1 in 100 year, 1 in 200 year, or whatever, for different types of infrastructure. And that is obviously changing with the change of the, you know, physical conditions. 1 in 100 year, based on a kind of historical information observed up to now, will be very different from 1 in 100 in 10 years, when the history will be prolonged. That's I think what we are, or what we can achieve with the infrastructure. There are much more efficient and more important, I think, measures that we need to consider. And if you have enough time, I can say a few words. One is to provide enough storage that we lose basically with the urbanization and very intensive population of the floodplains. That storage is essential to, kind of in the case of the large events like what we experienced in the last couple of weeks, that water can be kind of stored and slowly released by, and in that way reducing the peaks of the flows or discharge, and also the potential impact they have. Another important thing is that we are forgetting that droughts and floods are very much connected, and both are the kind of consequence of the same changing climate variability as well as the longer-term climate change. And for example, droughts are changing the physical characteristic, hardening the soil. So when the period of drought passes, the rainfall comes on that kind of soil and basically flows down much faster, creating the kind of flooding and impacting the population.
So we are running short on time, but I quickly just want to ask you, what's your advice to people that have been impacted? Because a lot of what you're proposing is very much policy and infrastructure based. But if I'm someone who got my basement flooded, what's a recommendation there?
Yeah, but there are a couple for the internal problems. You know, there are a couple of measures that almost everyone should consider wherever, you know, you are located in the floodplain. One is to prevent, you know, the water coming into the buildings. That means all the openings around the kind of basement level. Another important is a backup valve that can provide, you know, protection from water coming through the drains inside the. Another, you know, in the areas where the extreme events are more common, moving the expensive appliances and, you know, from the basement, raising them to the higher level, water heaters, you know, furnace, and other potentially appliances and equipment. Doing everything around your property is also very important to just move the water from. That's it.
Slobodan, we will have to leave the conversation there, but thank you so much for your time. We definitely appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
Slobodan Simonovic is a professor emeritus of civil and environmental engineering at Western University.